It's a brand new school year. It's time for a brand new edition of the Pounce Cast. My name is Matt Mendel. I'll be joined by the Milwaukee Panther volleyball head coach, Suji Johnson, back for her 18th season at the helm, 28th season now with the program. Before we talk about the volleyball, how was your summer?
It's great. It was really nice.
You know, for a coach in the fall, do you get much of a summer break? Or is it more just kind of...
It's here and there.
I was going to say, probably tying up loose ends.
Yep, you can recruit and things like that, but you're really prepping because we start August 7th. So you're really kind of prepping for the season still. It's just because the team's gone, you're able to get a little more done shorter days.
As we sit here, the team's preparing to take on the fifth-ranked Stanford Cardinal. What are your feelings when you look at this team here in the preseason for the Panthers? What do you think about your team so far?
I think we're really balanced. All the returners are better players, stronger people. They're stronger teammates. And so that's pretty exciting. But I do see a lot of balance in our offense. Our defense is stronger. Our passing is better. Serving is stronger. So that's exciting.
Let me ask you this, and I'm sure you've probably heard this a lot. How do you go about replacing the production offensively for Ari Miller? How do you go about replacing the production defensively of Sarah Schrader?
So I would say the offense part is just getting more balance in our offense. She did, you know, Ari had a lot of attempts, a lot of sets, a lot of kills. She was a great player for us for a long time, and just really maintaining the balance and the system that we're running and give everybody an opportunity to really find ways to get kills and averages be very similar so we can kind of produce points. Defensively, yes, Sarah was great. I would say our backcourt is pretty good as a whole. Everybody improved a lot. So I'm expecting more, you know, more production out of all the backcourt people.
Look at a player like Maddie Malone, now back for her senior season, coming off a year in which she was first team All-Horizon League. She's been first team a couple different times throughout her career. But what expectations do you have for a player like Maddie now for her senior season?
Well, Maddie, you know, being a three-time first team player, she really has done that every year. She's been very consistently high level for the conference to pick her as a first team player as an outside. I do see her having more fun. I see her even better. She has more shots. She has more confidence. Her block is better. Her, you know, she's just really settling in this senior year. So that's very exciting for us.
Look at a player like Natalie Schmitz, who had some big time performances last year, including a high of 17 kills on four different occasions. Where can her game continue to improve?
Well, Natalie is a high flyer, and she really has also increased her shot selection, her speed, her how hard she hits. It's really kind of cool to see. So she's added that, you know, level to her game where she's doing that more consistently, and she's also enjoying herself a lot more, and she's settling into her age. You know, she's played a lot of matches, and now she's junior year. And so that's pretty awesome for her and for us this year.
Let me put you on the spot a little bit. You bring back 11 players from last year. We mentioned a couple of them in Malone and Schmitz. Who are some of the other players maybe that are returnees that have caught your eye here in the preseason?
Well, Bree Gertz, she was a right side player for us last season, and she's really come on strong. Kara Erdman, a libero, she's really Katie Goba, Kara, Melitza and Josie, who are setting for us. Melitza's a freshman, and Josie, they're really setting really well in this preseason. And they're connecting with all of our hitters, and they're also playing very good defense. Their serves are also strong. So it's kind of neat to see. I mean, we're seeing a lot of Lexi Lewis. She's a middle who transferred in. She's having a really great preseason. You know, the thing is, you got to play in these matches to really get tested, and so we're waiting to see what we think. You know, we've practiced a lot of hours, so we're ready to play.
I was gonna say, are the players at that point now where they're eager to play somebody other than themselves?
I think so. I mean, Stanford's a tall order, but they're excited about it.
Well, and okay, you brought up some of the newcomers, and all you added six newcomers with four freshmen, a couple of transfers. How have they been fitting in?
Really well. This team is so strong as a culture. They're very, very welcoming group. I mean, that's what they say a lot, the new people coming in. So I'm excited to see that happen and see the leadership growth within this team and how they are so connected and really committed to success in the program on and off the court. So that's pretty cool. So bringing in new people is pretty seamless. I've gotten feedback from our transfers feeling that same way. And so it's not really a terribly hard team to come into because we do have more of a seasoned team on the court. So coming into it is a bit easier for new people.
Let me piggyback off that a little bit because you mentioned, okay, a couple of transfers, middle blocker Alexis Lewis, transferred from Memphis. You bring in defensive specialist libero Hallie Cook, a transfer from UNC Greensboro. Do you anticipate those two having an immediate impact, or is there going to be a transitional period here in the first few weeks of the year?
I think they will. I mean, Lexi is in the starting group right now, and Hallie has a role within our starting group, and she's really filled a really important role for us, and she has a great serve, and she's a very big hustle player, and I really enjoy that, big competitor, which we are always looking for, and so that's pretty exciting.
So as we sit here, do you have a pretty good thought process of what that lineup looks like for, the first few weeks, or is it kind of an ongoing process?
I think the first weekend, you look and see, you think one thing, you where you put people in volleyball, you have to keep them in that lineup so they rotate the same way, they have to stay in that same. So I think I have a pretty good solidified idea of what I want to do. But it's kind of like anything, you got to see and test it, and we have a very interesting test in 3 days of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I think I'll know a lot more by Monday.
You referenced that setter role and brought in a freshman to go along with Josie Johnson. Kind of answered my question, but I want to kind of go down this path a little bit. You had Kaylee Blake last year split those setting responsibilities. Blake's gone. Do you continue to use that two-setter system, or does Josie take on a bigger workload?
The plan is to do this two-setter system. We've been practicing that all preseason. It's going very well. It's just like anything. You kind of hope that just works and the system works and what we think is happening is happening. What I like to see is Melitza come in and she felt very comfortable in this system. Of course, we recruited her and this was all in the plans. Josie's leadership role has gotten much stronger and that's been really neat to see. She has, obviously run this system, but really helped Melitza really develop that too, and Lindsay's been working really directly with them on that, and they're doing great.
Let's talk about that setter role for a second, because you were a setter in your college playing days, and you look at Panther volleyball history, and there have been some phenomenal setters have come through this program. Some of the more recent names like a Riley Vaughn, going a little bit further back, Kayla Price. What do you look for in a setter? What makes a good setter?
It's different personalities. It's okay to have a different personality. Lindsay Vandenberg also, Spoden was her name, at the time, and she's now coaching with me for almost 20 years. And with Lindsay, she was a quiet competitor. She was very competitive, very skilled, high level, All-American, the whole thing. And then you get somebody like maybe more like Josie or Riley Vaughn, the more verbal, like talking, overtly competing. So that's neat to see. But the trick is you want to be, with setting, you want to have location first. You want to be able to put that ball where the hitter needs it. And you want to be able to move that ball around where, it's a little bit like a point guard or a quarterback. You're really trying to find those players that we think will be able to fit into that. And then we train them and develop them. We feel really good about how we train our setters. Lindsay was a setter. I was, and now my new assistant, Katie Adams, she was a setter. And we believe that setters understand the whole game really well, but we're really comfortable training that position. So we've really enjoyed, you talk about that history. It is pretty cool to look back on and think about all that development. And I just had that comment about Melitza. She's really enjoyable to train. She really is a sponge. She wants to learn. And so that's half of it. You want them to be able to, work hard and everything like that, but develop in that skill. And then also fit a system.
And what a luxury to have, like your daughter Josie coming back for year number three. I got to believe at this point she's pretty comfortable at knowing who wants the ball where, mm-hmm. being that most of the teammates around her have stayed the same.
Right, right. And really, you asked about the lineup. I even tweaked it today a little bit because I want to find the right fit for the right setter. Even though there's only going to be two players that have the same setter for three rotations – But then you have these other ones. And I mean, how much ever you know about volleyball, whoever knows about volleyball, it's kind of that's the way the system goes. So we're trying to find that right fit for the right person and how we're going to find those players and really bring out the best in them. So it is cool. I mean, I did coach Josie before here when she played club volleyball. So she's run our system since she's been about 12. Yeah. So that's kind of cool that she understands all that. But also to see her, how she can work with these hitters and how they're growing together is pretty neat.
I know a lot's been talked about that relationship, getting the opportunity to coach your daughter here at Milwaukee and prior to. That's obviously neat, but how neat is it to see that she's following your footsteps by being a setter?
Right. That is very cool. It's also kind of neat that she's been coaching a lot. So she works a lot of camps in the summers and she does a lot of private training. So she's really developed that skill too, of coaching and progressing through developing skills for other players, and potentially maybe wanting to get into coaching. So that's kind of neat.
She's going to follow the family tree.
We'll see, you know, but that, yeah, I mean, it is neat to see. Our family's very excited about that, but nobody's shocked by it because that's, you know, kind of what we do.
Well, for you, has it been pretty smooth coaching Josie? You know, is it one of those, do you have to set boundaries where it's like, I'm mom here, but I'm coach here? How does that dynamic work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a normal, really great question, but it's true. I mean, right now I'm asking you a mom question, and right now I'm asking a coach question. I mean, that's very normal. We're very busy, you know, with our Division I volleyball. It's a lot of work and a lot of time. So those things will come up. But honestly, you know, having coached her prior to here, that was worked probably a lot through between, you know, her ages of 13 and maybe 16, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of those years. And she developed a skill, a really good skill in directly communicating and being able to talk to me in a way so we could understand what each other needed and what she needed from that. So that transition here has been pretty easy. I think just the next step of being Division I and the intensity of it, I think just adapting, the players adapting, Josie adapting, all of that. And so it's really going very well right now.
What also is unique, and you referenced it, is you brought on your niece now on the mm-hmm. coaching staff, and mm-hmm. Katie Adams spent the last couple of years on the coaching staff with the Green Bay Phoenix. It truly is a family affair, isn't it? Now all of a sudden you got your niece on the bench with you, your daughter's on the court playing. It's kind of a neat environment.
Well, it is. And you know, how I explain it to, you know, is I was big mentor in her life in this world of volleyball. You know, she came to our camps, you know, in fourth grade. She learned the game of volleyball from my camps. And so she's developed this skill set and then played at Parkside and then went on to want to coach. And that was all sort of, I had like kind of a stake in the game with her, you know? And so it was between my sister at Loyola and me trying to get her to hire her. You know, she is a really great coach. She's a really good mentor, role model for these student athletes. And yes, we're very excited. It is funny because in our family, this is kind of what a lot of us have done. But the truth is it's not. It's very normal to us. You know, my mom there's five kids and there's four daughters. And we're all really, really competitive people, all five of us. But my mom's still doing Senior Olympics, plays softball still. She plays tennis, pickleball, lots of golf. So it's, for us, it's just normal. Like Katie and I just played pickleball against my parents the other day and it was really competitive and they were really good. So this is kind of in our blood,
Was that tough? You talk about that the competitiveness. Was it tough seeing Katie coach with the rival Green Bay last couple of years?
That was hard. I was happy for her because this business is hard to get into. You know, it was her third job in college coaching. And to have her close was really nice, you know. But I will say, it is hard because it was hard for her. She's admitted that. But at the end of the day, you're just like, it's a match and you just have to move forward. You know, her sister's at Marquette as a mm-hmm. director of ops. That's a whole other thing, too. So they're going to have to play each other this year and you know, along with me. So we try to, my sister, man, and I try to avoid that contest. So I'm able to avoid it.
It's funny you say that because I have that question. I was going to ask you about that. So your sister's coaching, as you mentioned, at Loyola Chicago. Panthers Rambles have not played since 2017, which I believe was the last time Loyola Chicago was maybe in the Horizon League. But outside of some spring matchups, do you purposely avoid playing one another?
I mean, they could have been the year before she came to Loyola.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it was intentional. We prefer, we are so intricately combined with our programs, because we do lean on each other and talk to each other about everything. And it just, for us, it's just better. And if we happen to play in the NCAA tournament, we're like, great. But we would rather enjoy not to, because there's plenty of other teams to play.
I was going to say, you look at the 2024 slate, and per usual, the Panthers don't shy away from playing great competition. And we talked about, as we sit here and tape this, you're less than 24 hours away from welcoming the fifth-ranked Stanford Cardinal. What do you make of the non-conference slate this year?
Well, it's intentional. You know, it takes time and thought process, and things have to work out. Opportunities have to be there for you to play teams. This team is ready. I believe it's ready to play this type of competition, and they're very excited about it. I am a big communicator with the team. Once I know who we're going to play, I let them know, because I want them to prep and I want their opinion. I may not ask, do you want to play this team? But I might say, we're playing this team. What do you think? And so what I like about this group is they are super pumped about Stanford. They're super excited about Wisconsin, at Wisconsin in the field house. Their response, their reaction was exactly what a coach wants. And the opportunity to play Stanford here is incredible for us, for the program, for the community, to be able to see them in the Clatchy Center. But, you know, beyond that, our preseason schedule was intentional. I also wanted to get out of the region. SMU is quite a good team, but they put together a great tournament. It gives our team an opportunity to go to another part of the country and see, you know, those teams, and see a Weber State who's from Utah, you know, that they might not normally see. And then be able to go to Chicago with DePaul and UIC. That's always an awesome, you know, quick trip, but it's nice for us. And then to be able to host Iowa, Illinois State, and St. Thomas. We're really just very excited about this schedule. Marquette we get later. Mm-hmm. And that was Ryan and I decided on that because it worked out that at that part of our season. But I thought that might be a good thing because it's in conference. It's during our conference season. It might allow us to maybe get some growth during that time of the year.
Well, it's exciting too, because you said it. You attract a team like Stanford to the K. A couple of years ago, it was LSU. Last year, Northwestern, DePaul, Marquette was here. Later on, Iowa's here. I mean, that's pretty exciting to get them to come here to the Clatchy Center.
Oh, yeah. Really exciting. And, you know, that's really, it came about with Stanford because they're coming to Fiserv mm-hmm. and playing the big event at Fiserv on Sunday, Monday. And he approached me about it, and I probably thought about it for 5 minutes. I mean, it's a tall order. It's a great team. But it's very exciting, too. And you have to think about things sometimes in a bigger picture. And the hope is that we can compete, see what happens. But it's going to help us in the broad spectrum of the season. And to win this conference is a goal. And so prepping us in those 4 weeks of preseason for that.
You mentioned that matchup against Wisconsin, first time playing the Badgers since the NCAA tournament back in 2013. But also great to see the Panther Invitational is back. And so you get Illinois State, St. Thomas, Iowa in town.
Yeah, again, scheduling can be hard. And sometimes it just needs to work out where people can come and teams can come. And you know, it can be complicated because people have to want to play each other also. So that's where volleyball gets a little hard because you're trying to get four teams in one space to play each other. And the RPI is considered for people. Strength of schedule is always considered. And so that is, I really like that tournament and how it really worked out. So we are excited to have that tournament back.
Let's talk, too, about the Horizon League schedule, because that's a new format this year. It's much like what it was during the COVID year, spring of 2021. So you play the same opponent back-to-back days, same site each weekend. So, for example, the Panthers begin Horizon League play September 27th and the 28th. Both matchups at Oakland, host IU Indy October 4th and 5th. Do you like that change?
You know, I'll see when we play it. It's new for all of us. We had this big discussion with our head coaches group, and we all decided that we're going to try it and see how it goes. You know, there could be some really big benefits of it. One is you're in the same hotel for a couple of days, which is really nice because we do play back-to-back anyway. We just have to go to the other, mm-hmm. you know, the travel partner, and that can be very taxing. It can be long. You can go 5 hours in between these opponents, so we're not having to do that. So that might be really nice, the scouting level. And then kind of, I think it might be a benefit of us because we are a seasoned team. We're a more experienced team, so you can make some tweaks and get some understanding of what you need to do with your opponent the next day. but we'll see.
I was going to say, I got to believe from a prep standpoint, that's got to be nice for the athletes too, because I think sometimes in this day and age with information, with video, there could be information overload. And now you're focused on one team for 2 days.
Well, you're right. You're very right. That information overload. Well, there's a lot of ability to get with the systems that we all have now. Statistical analysis, video analysis, it probably is going to be that big benefit to the team.
Let's talk about you. So this is your 28th year now with Milwaukee Volleyball, 18th at the helm. You've had prior coaching experiences, including a stint as the head coach at Parkside. How did you end up at Milwaukee?
Let me think. It was a while ago. Well, I met Kathy Litzau, who's an administrator, but I met Kathy back when she was a graduate assistant coach at Illinois. We were doing a camp together, like in Wyoming or something. And I met her, and a few years went by, and she became the coach here. And so she called me up. And so it was one of those things that took a little bit of time. It didn't happen that same year. It happened a little after that. I thought it'd be a great fit. I am from Racine, so that was kind of a really exciting to me because I could be where my family was. And I have a big family, much younger siblings, and then my nieces and nephew and my sister and her family. So it was a really cool opportunity. Did not anticipate 28 years, but I will tell you, this business can be really hard on people traveling or moving around all the time and trying to find that path. And so I've been very grateful to be able to be in one place, work for Kathy for the 10 years and become the head coach. It's just, I would have never expected it. I always feel like, man, this doesn't seem like it's been this long because every year to me is new. I think that with coaching, you can really, after the season, it's the next season you're prepping for. So you can really, it really, the years go pretty fast.
Now, when you came here, did you anticipate that you'd be the head coach? Maybe one day that was a possibility? Or did you come here kind of taking it year by year going, hey, I'll be an assistant, see how this all works out?
I will tell you, I took it year by year. I still do. The business we're in, it's you take it year by year because you really have to consider that because you want to be all in. You ask your players to be all in, so you want to be all in. So it's really important for you to be prepared and energized and passionate about it every single year.
So how do you feel like in that first decade under Kathy Litzau, how did you feel like you grew as a person, as a coach, and then eventually, the head coach?
Well, geez, a lot of things happened in that decade. Kathy had 4 kids and I had 2. So, I mean, that right there is growth in general as becoming a parent and really watching her kind of evolve as a mom and a coach. And that was really, I was very grateful to be able to be around for that and us work together very closely. And as a coach, it's just, it doesn't matter what school you're at. You're going to have lots of stuff thrown at you and you have to make decisions and learn. And Kathy really helped me. I was able to be a part of so many of the decisions and as the recruiting coordinator too. So I think I was very prepared. And it wasn't that different for me becoming the head coach. I think the team, the transition, they made it super easy for me. There was 5 seniors at the time when I became the head coach. I'm very grateful to them to this day because they really accepted me as a head coach. And so from there, you just kind of keep going. And hiring Lindsay was a great decision, obviously.
Still here.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think in coaching, it's I'm even seeing it now. You just can't plan out what's going to happen, whether it be injury, whether it be great things, whether it be, anything. It's like you can't plan out your day all the way. No. Other than your practice plan, and that kind of changes too most days.
No, and it is. It's challenging. It's a results-based business. And you look during your time with this program, okay, 14 regular season conference championships. You've qualified for the NCAA tournament on 10 occasions. You look at all the, and every year this team's in the conversation for a conference championship. You look at all these successes program has had. In your opinion, how has this program been able to maintain that level of success or that high level of play for the most part?
Well, I think it's really just understanding the conference, understanding what we need to do to stay in that top part of the conference. Obviously, the goal is always winning that conference in the conference tournament. It's very hard to do in this conference. Everybody's so good. So I haven't thought a lot about that, of how we do it. I'm proud that we have. It makes me feel good that we've been able to be competitive. I think it does help that every year I'm trying to tweak and make myself a better coach and communicate, talk to people, learn, And so that maybe helps our growth mindset, really, really focusing on, okay, how can I be better this year? How can I be better for this team next year? How can I get these kids to develop? And I'm a coach who, we have 17 players and all 17 have to develop. They are going to develop. I am not going to ignore anyone. It is the commitment. But I say that in the recruiting process, you must be a player that wants to develop, that is coachable when it's hard, because coachable is when it's easy. Is not hard to do, to be coachable. It's hard to be coachable when it's hard, you know, when things aren't going your way. So I pride ourselves on that. And so that, you know, maybe that's some of the formula. I don't know, Matt.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing, too, your approaches have changed quite a bit over the years, because whether it be technology, whether it be now rally scoring and that whole era, you look at just building a roster now, and the transfer portal has changed everything in every sport. I got to believe there's been a lot of approach changes over those, you know, 20-plus years.
Yeah, you just kind of break it down, talk about it, see where we need to make adjustments. I will tell you, we haven't had a lot of turnover in our program, so the portal hasn't been necessarily something we've had to gravitate to a whole lot. We have the transfer in Lexi Lewis based on we didn't use a scholarship. We were saving it for that situation. So we didn't really lose somebody. We were just kind of planning for that to see, to get a more, you know, maybe mm-hmm. a seasoned player in a senior transfer. So, but I think it's just like, trying to stay up with what's changing and adjusting, but also keeping your principles. And, you know, I really believe that I've kept a lot of those principles this whole time, which is I do really, really care about their experience. I care about their graduating. I care about their process of academics, and I really want to win. And those things are always talked about. And I try to make it really clear. I'm a competitive person. You know, we want this team to be competitive, but not at all costs.
No.
And that's kind of like an interesting, you know, topic.
And obviously with the success, the one thing as a fan we love is the Suti Johnson dance after a victory at home. Like, yeah. We look forward to that dance after every home victory.
Well, we just kind of had a fun dance upstairs at the end of practice because they're planning some stuff for during our game. So we're pretty excited about that.
According to Sean Engel's Gainos, if I read this correctly, this weekend you will hit your 500th career.
Oh, really?
Game as a head coach.
I didn't know that.
With the Panthers. And so you look, you know, throughout your successes, wow. your memories, your championships, are there certain matches or a match or two that maybe stand out among the rest?
You know, that's probably a stump question for me because, again, I don't really know. I can't even, you know, the season I talked about, that my first season as a head coach, very, very second match of the season was Syracuse at Wisconsin in the field house. My sister was on the Wisconsin team at the time. And so that first match was memorable. Very hard. They were top 10.
Sure.
Second match was really memorable because it was my second match as a head coach. I used every timeout. I used every single sub. And we won like 15-13 in the fifth. And I just cried after. I was so tired. and I just thought, oh, I got to win. You know, I just kept thinking, this is like, am I ever going to win? So that was probably one of the early memories that I've had. And of course, winning is fun. Yeah. But the experiences on these trips, and I mean, just there's so many things. There's so many players. And
I want to bring her up too before we wrap things up, because you mentioned her already, but your associate head coach, current recruiting coordinator, Lindsay Vandenberg. She's been here, you know, she played 2003, has been coaching pretty much ever since on your staff. What has she meant to you? What has she meant to this program?
Well, she's meant so much to me. She is such a great person, and she's really, really evolved as a coach, and she's so strong, and she's become a mom in this process, and, you know, a wife and all of that. And she just means so much to the program. She cares so much. She's so involved in this department. She is just such a good role model for these players. And it's hard to even put into words how much she means to me. I mean, I do have, I say this, I have, you know, three sisters, but I feel like Lindsay knows so much about me.
Sure.
And my family, you know, having known Josie, my daughter, like her whole life. I mean, that's kind of really cool that mm-hmm. she can coach her, and she wanted to, you know, we talked a lot about that in the recruiting process, if that could work. And so it's just, and she also has known Katie, my niece, for a very long time, since she was very little. And so that's also pretty special that they can work together and we can all work together.
So it really is like a family affair. Mm-hmm. It really is. To wrap it all up and bring it to the here and now, again, looking at this 2024 season, in your opinion, for this to be a good 2024 season, what needs to happen?
I think we need to stay competitive in this preseason so we stay confident and stay positive so we can lead into the conference schedule and really pick away at this conference. We really want to win this thing. And that's the goal of the team. That's the goal of our staff, is to win this conference and go to the NCAA tournament.
Well, Coach Johnson, appreciate the time. All the best this season.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this edition of the Pounce Cast.